I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Come through, queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Brendan, and this is Come Through, Queen. So Dan's away, but today we are in good hands. We are joined by returner. I forget how many times she's been on, but the iconic Jess Rothschild. How many times have you been on? Is this?
Well, once in person.
Once virtual with me.
So this would be three.
Okay. But then we did your podcast, which was like the most fun interview.
After that aired, they said this is the best episode you've ever done.
Oh my God.
I got a DM saying that.
We did what Jess called a culture debate, which she basically like had a list of like all sorts of things, like from TV to like boroughs.
Best neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And like we just like shot the shit. And we like tried to convince her to move to Brooklyn. And then when Jenna Lyons' old townhouse went up for sale.
We almost bought it.
We almost bought it in Park Slope, like 7 minutes from me, a 7 minute walk. Anyways, welcome back.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, first of all, her podcast, which we've raved about already, that you've heard us rave about, Finding Fire Island, which was like shorter series that she did, now nominated for some awards. Iconic. But more importantly, my Monday night or Monday afternoon, like walk around pleasure is your podcast, Hot Takes and Deep Dives, where you kind of like get like iconic guests.
I'm slaving away.
I know. So like your two most recent guests, you had Peppermint this past week. And then before that, you had Bianca Del Rio.
Yes.
You recently had Jackie Warner from Workout, which I know she's a returner.
She's a returner. I mean, there'll be eventually a seventh appearance by Jackie Warner.
But you've done Rosie O'Donnell in the past. You've done tons of people. Even like your episodes of like subject matters I don't really know about. Like you had someone recently who was involved in The L Word, a show that I've watched Generation Q, but not the OG.
Which is so sick.
I know, but you really are like a great interviewer, and I feel like when people talk to you at the end of the interviews, they're like, oh wow, this person actually like knew her shit. So how do you do it?
Well, step one is I know my shit. Yeah. No, thank you so much. That's so sweet. I mean, I mean, to be honest, I think what makes what I'm doing different from a lot of other shows is I'm not bound to a network. I do it completely independently. And so I only interview people that I'm super interested in.
Yeah.
And then I really try to go after those people. So, like, for example, the L Word writer that you spoke to, that was like a happenstance thing. Like, I knew who this woman was 20 years ago. And like, someone's like, oh, you should interview her. And then it's like, should I? And then it winds up being this great thing. If you're into the L word, it's able to go like into, like, she's a very polarizing person in the L word, you know, landscape, like within that universe. And so it can, if they're open to talking about the stuff that was really kind of polarizing at that time, it can be great.
Yeah, but you had, like, John Cameron Mitchell recently.
Like,
I even listened to, like, your Madonna culture debate as somebody who doesn't know a lot about Madonna in general, and I enjoyed it.
And your mom said that, like, A Virgin is her favorite Madonna song.
Yeah, because I was listening to it, because that came out around Christmas, so I was, like, I was, like, what I usually do when I'm, like, getting ready, I have, like, my Bluetooth on and I'm listening to a podcast or whatever. And my mom and I had to share a room. So I'm not going to change my behavior for that. There's so only so many times I can turn on Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande before everyone goes crazy. So yeah, no, yeah, it's a great podcast, and I'm not even just like blowing smoke. It's like something I look forward to, not for like the specific interviews, just because of your interview style.
That is so nice. Like, on, like, thank you so much. Like, I love that. And I respect you guys so much, and like, you know that I'm like the biggest fan. Like, I review your reviews of the shows. Like, I give you my thoughts.
I know, I know. So I guess we should jump into kind of like the biggest news story to come out of Bravo this week. And it's actually a big one, and it's bad. So Tom Sandoval did a big piece with New York Times Magazine. I think it was like titled like America's Most Hated Man or something like that, which is like, I could name so many more men who are more hated in the US, including I hate myself more. Just kidding. I'm sorry. No, I just went dark. I'm kidding. Anyways, like, obviously the big breakout quote from there is kind of the worst thing he's ever said. Where he's reflecting on what happened with Scandoval, and he said, quote, "I'm not a pop culture historian, really, but I witnessed the O.J. Simpson thing and the George Floyd thing and all these big things, which is really weird to compare this to that, I think. But do you think in a weird way it's a little bit the same? Question mark."
And then I love how the writer acknowledges that she then glances over at his like PR person who like didn't flinch.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the breaking of the fourth wall in the interview.
And then later in the piece, there was a new PR person. It's bad. And like, he's released an apology, and it's just like, how are we doing this?
It also feels surprisingly late. Like, it feels like this would have been timed with last year's finale or the reunion.
Sure.
But I guess they're maybe, I wonder if Bravo PR set this up with the New York Times to hype up the new season. The timing just feels off.
I think the timing feels off in general for a lot of what we're experiencing with Vanderpump Rules, because so much has happened so publicly. Like, all of these people are creatures of social media, so we've seen so much, so everything feels late now. And so, like, there's, like, now currently, like, a backlash to Ariana, which feels even baked into the show with, like, some of her confessionals. And it's, like, it's so confusing.
Well, it's almost like what Sheena said. I mean, we'll get to the show, but, like, how Sheena said, Tom Sandoval said in the episode this week that, like, the fans take the cues from the cast members. And I think the fans take the cues from the show. Like, it's all, you know, I thought it was very strange. Alex Baskin did an interview maybe on Lala's podcast saying that he wishes Scandoval never happened, which to me is like the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. Like, for the producer to say that is insane, because his rationale was that he didn't know if they could ever get it get the friend group back. But that's completely ridiculous for like the executive producer to say that like it was a bad thing and he wishes that it never happened.
They made so much money off of this. Are you kidding? I don't. It's
a ridiculous statement.
It's wild. Yeah, but like back to like what Tom Sandoval said, I just cannot believe he had that vocabulary in his mouth to even be able to like make that comparison. Also, does he know what pop culture is? Compared to like what happened with George Floyd, I'm sorry, that makes no sense as a comparison.
And also O.J. Simpson, O.J. Simpson was more of a pop culture figure, but that was a murder.
Yeah,
like, these are both.
Bad, bad, bad.
Have you ever listened to his podcast or watched it on YouTube?
Of course not.
I have.
Of course you have. Do you want to report anything back?
Yeah, I'm going to report that Tom Schwartz sits in for most episodes.
That's crazy. Also, yeah. Tom Schwartz refusing. He was on his press tour in New York right after this broke, and I think he refused to do any press about that moment. And Tom Schwartz coward vibes. I'm sorry. Loser. Okay, so let's talk about Wendy Williams.
This is heartbreaking.
It really, really is. So it's been reported today on like the... So she has this big documentary coming out that she did agree to do, but it was when she got her like three-picture deal. Picture. It's not like the 1920s. Her three like big movie deal with Lifetime. And if you remember, one was the documentary that came before, one was the like made for TV, and this is supposed to be the third one. Mm-hmm. But news is coming out today, and this is from NBC News. This is like Bible. Wendy Williams is diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia and aphasia, which from what I understand is the same thing that Bruce Willis was diagnosed with in 2022.
It's exactly... Yes. His same diagnosis. And I was reminded in reading this, I was reminded that she also has Graves' disease.
Yes. That she was public about while her show was still on.
Yeah.
Because that affected her. That led to what was happening with her ankles back then.
Oh my God.
And also that also like makes your, it does something to your eyes as well.
Yes. Terrible. So
there's this documentary coming out, and it was, of course, meant to be about the comeback of Wendy Williams. Like, she announced in 2022 that she was going to be doing this, like, new podcast venture, and people were, like, kind of excited because, like, mm-hmm. Wendy's back.
Or Wendy would have freedom and, like, back on the radio.
Exactly. But then all the things with, like, the conservatorship came up where Wells Fargo froze her accounts, and from what her family's saying, and her niece was on The View today, mm-hmm. and what her family's saying is that there's like a shadowy figure who was chosen by the courts to be Wendy's conservator, so it's like not like it's anyone in her family, and they're keeping the family out of like all the decisions, allegedly.
Extremely bizarre.
Yeah. And so that includes the nieces, like with obviously Wendy's sister and Wendy's son and like every other member of the family. Like, Wendy is apparently, according to the niece, in some facility where she can call any of them whenever she wants, but they're not allowed to contact her. So the niece said last night she was at dinner and she got a missed call. And when she called back, the facility said, like, there's nobody named Wendy Williams, like, in this facility. It's a lot.
Terrible.
People
are... it's very strange that it's exactly yeah. what Bruce Willis had. It's like the combination of those two things.
I know, but it's like... It's almost a little more sad because Bruce Willis, we know, has a big support system. He has his current wife. He's got his mm-hmm. ex-wife, Demi. He's got all of his daughters who are like surrounding him. Wendy seems to be almost alone in this, if we are to believe the family.
She has her son.
Well, no, but he's like, he's in the same boat as the niece and the, like, the family's not allowed, apparently, from what they're saying. So yeah, I don't think I'll be able to like stomach this documentary. It's apparently 4 hours.
I don't know. What's the entertainment value? I don't know.
I know, no. But it's like, it's so sad because I think even more now, especially after COVID, I feel like there's like a new generation of people who didn't necessarily watch Wendy Williams live, but they're discovering her on TikTok and social, and they don't know like what went down, basically.
Right.
Like I watched Wendy Williams, not live, but I DVR'd her from probably 2012 until her show was off the air, so probably 10 years. But like, there's so many clips that I even get on my For You page on TikTok these days. It's like, there's those like compilations of like cultural moments that change the world and like all this kind of stuff. And it's like always like Wendy. It's like all these like funny moments. And so like these young people are like discovering her, but they don't know, unfortunately, what's happened.
Yeah.
Sad. Well,
yeah.
We miss you, Wendy.
We love you.
We love you. So let's jump into some of the shows.
Yes.
So Potomac, as I understand, you were a watcher, but you kind of fell off, which is fine because I feel like the world is kind of falling off.
I haven't heard a peep about it from anybody. Like I was a huge fan of Potomac, and then I fell off halfway through last season.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
So I was a huge fan of Potomac, and I still am, but I found this year especially, and maybe a little bit of last year, I'm not running on a Sunday night to watch Potomac like I was in the day. Mm-hmm. And that's like kind of unfortunate. Though I do find like certain moments of like clarity that I like. Obviously, like Karen Huger remains a light and remains a star, and we should celebrate her. But it seems to me, and I think like we can open this up to talk about like Housewives in general and just reality in general. Like if you're on a cast with these people and you're starting to separate away and draw lines, I think that's bad.
Absolutely. It has to be, you've got to be able to work together.
Yeah.
And like I think that this is why I always return to Roni did it best, because I think they truly were the best ensemble cast. Like, even though they, like, their fights, they were never really arguing. I mean, except when it got very personal with, like, the Luann stuff, like, with Tom. Like, that was true meddling. But it did always seem like they were having fun, and that, like, they treated it as, like, a sport, and, like, they were kind of athletes together, like, on opposing teams, and, like, they got that it was all a joke.
Yes. I think Roni and then Atlanta, like around season six, those were the two best, like as like your analogy to sports, which I don't even really know what that is. But like, I think I get it, but,
I don't get it. I think I heard it somewhere.
I watched half the Super Bowl anyways. No, but I think it's like people are willing to like put me in coach. I'm ready to play and we can like pivot and we can like have fun and like do the thing. Potomac right now, it's like we had to sit down this episode between Wendy and NECA, who NECA's the new housewife, and they're both Nigerian, and they got a fight
and they're pitting them against each other, right?
Yeah. And they got into a fight about something like literally that's about Nigerian culture. So, and one of them's like not willing to budge at all. And it's just like frustrating watching Wendy walk off when NECA is like sitting there talking to a producer. And now they're like breaking the fourth wall, like totally. And NECA's sitting there talking to the producer being like, I like kind of want to work through this type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we've got like the Candace versus Giselle thing, which like they're at least now on a trip together. They just like landed in the Dominican Republic. So let's hope something good happens, but I don't know. It's like we need some resolution in order to move on, you know?
Yes. This is a silly question, like for like if people are already watching the show, but I am curious, what is the status with Ashley Darby and the husband, or have they settled the housing? Is that all settled?
She has a home.
Okay.
He is no longer on the show. And
right.
And she's like vaguely talking about it, but not really. She's sketchy pants. Mm-hmm. It might be one of the reasons like why there's like a lot of division. I know that Giselle gets a lot of shit and people are going to
You know what I remember also seeing? I think I saw an early episode this season where Giselle had Jason from Winter mm-hmm. House.
Yes.
I did catch a glimpse of that and thought that was pretty fake and funny.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't been around in a bunch of episodes. And, like, it feels like they're doing a Giselle edit that is, like, focused on her family. And, like, so we saw her daughter's graduation this episode. And it was, like, beautiful. And, like, it's people love seeing Giselle with her family. So it does feel like she's a Bravo fave that they want to keep around, even though a lot of people, there's, like, online people don't like her.
Would they ever keep Giselle and get rid of Robin?
I could see Robin being friend of,
mm-hmm.
but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
This season's just been like such a kind of mess, and we need to like reconcile and come together. And also, like, this season, because it landed over the holidays and with all those like Sundays with award shows,
mm-hmm.
like it felt like they were like on this like mid season trip to Austin, Texas for 2 months.
Why are they going to Austin, Texas?
Why not?
Budget's low.
Yeah. But I mean, they're going to Dominican Republic for like their actual trip, which.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I mean, that's Potomac in a nutshell. We'll talk more about it next episode. But yeah, let's get to Vanderpump.
Yes.
How are you feeling about this?
I like it. Okay. I like the season. I'm able to sit through all the episodes. Like, I'm like in it and I'm paying attention. It's not a phone show for me. Like, I'm fully like I have like 12 bullet points here.
Okay.
If we want to get into it.
Do you want to go through the bullet points?
Sure. Okay. Okay. Sure. So I made a note about James. Okay. Can we talk about Allie? James is Allie.
Yes. 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 Not the other Allie behind Sir.
No. I'm sorry, but James's Allie is the most boring human being on the face of the planet and needs to be. She's not made for television. No. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I guess he likes a really boring person because, like, he also chose Raquel.
Yeah.
She was a cardboard cutout all those years, too. But the pool party was fun. I mean, when he jumped off the roof, I was like, is this, we're watching people getting paralyzed now. Like, this is.
That freaks me out so much.
Yeah.
Because. I don't fuck with roofs. I don't fuck with pools.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like thinking about his neighbors. I'm like, he just moved in and like he's like doing this. If I were the neighbor, I'd be like calling 311.
I love Katie's vibe so much. Like, I love her just shooting looks at Schwartz. Like when he jumped off, when he was about to, like when she was in the little something about her floaty. Can you customize floaties like that? I guess you can.
He like
obviously.
I think he built it himself.
How?
I don't know. I think he put like a piece of like felt over it or something.
Huh.
It didn't look that well done.
Interesting. I bet you can get things. I'm sure if you have a high res photo, you can get that made.
Okay. But just, it didn't look that good.
Okay. All right. Fine.
No, but I also do like Katie's vibe, but I'm also like, Katie, like we need, like, I like your vibe of like chilling, but like also wake up, born a
also,
show.
Also, Katie, you and Ariana, I've texted this to you both many times, you and
Dan. I know what you're about to say.
Katie and Ariana, the two of them need to get with women stat.
Don't we all? Well, Ariana is like.
That's what will spice up this show.
Ariana is an out-bi woman.
But why are we with that man?
because he's
after Sandoval, you go with another man. Like, this was your golden opportunity to like win a GLAAD award. Like, like this was your moment.
Well, maybe. I mean, I support anyone getting with a woman.
Okay, like them not going. So it seems like they're not going on the cast trip. But isn't that part of their job description? Like, you're going on this trip. It's paid for. This is part of your work. But I guess they'll film other scenes.
I feel like I heard that they maybe show up.
Okay.
Also, another thing I heard about this Tahoe trip is that Lisa Vanderpump actually did the Graham reveal there in like a producer thing. And
heard about this.
I heard about this like on the internet in like July, mm-hmm. but then it's now like being revealed at Vanderpump Dogs with the like dirty windows.
Yes.
Also, is that a working dog shop or is it just a set?
Seems like a set because nobody's in there.
I've walked by there before.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time I was in LA, I walked by there. Okay. Let me see my other notes here. Yep. I have another note about Katie's hair, how much I love it. That goes on that under her vibe. Like, she just looks, I love her gay vibe.
She's giving the craft.
She looks like she should be stomping around the East Village.
Yeah, of course. Maybe she should move to New York.
She really should.
Put her on Real Housewives in New York. Why not?
With our other queer heroes, Erin Leachy and Abe. The sober curious thing is really annoying to me.
Yeah, and they're like all kind of doing it.
But I just don't like that phrase.
It's
like,
yeah.
But I don't want to comment too much. Sober, I'm not a fan of that. It's like people really struggle with addiction. Like, let's not make light of.
And I think I will hand it to Lala. Like, her one rare moment was like pulling that into question, being like, that's stupid.
I cannot believe how much I'm enjoying Lala this season.
She's okay at times.
I feel like she suddenly is like making sense.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I think like she. Okay. She is one person who I feel like is listening to the streets, listening to the social media. And I think she's like swaying with the breeze of like what people are saying online, especially. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think like she's the one who is like sniffing around being like, maybe people are going to not like Ariana in a little bit. So maybe I should like go with Lisa and like try to make Tom Sandoval okay again in a little bit of a way. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. But that whole scene with James, where she's like, "Tell me why you're not drinking," that felt really strange. The dialogue felt weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just that whole scene was odd to me. The return, Billy Lee back again, fully
I know, the return of Billy Lee, like, it's when, like, Tom Sandoval finally doesn't have anybody. We get Billy Lee back. And we're going to this, like, what was this place called again? It had the weirdest name.
I remember it had a weird name.
The
cold plunge place.
Have you ever done a cold plunge? You seem like a cold plunge type, actually.
That's hilarious. Why? No, go deeper on this. Why do I seem like a cold plunge type?
Because you're like a berries person.
I knew that was going to be the next thing you said.
Is that offensive?
No, but you're just like rattling off facts about me. You're like, you like the L word. You like Madonna. You like berries. Stalking Lindsay Hubbard. You like gay shit.
I didn't mention stalking Lindsay Hubbard.
I just volunteered it. Where was I going with this? The cold plunge. Okay. I don't know, the unpopular opinion. I'm going to speak my truth here.
Sure.
The most captivating, interesting person on this show is Tom Sandoval this season.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're seeing somebody recover from this specific thing. And it's also like, you don't know if how he's coming about it is truthful or if it's an act.
When he says he's saving himself for Raquel.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's he's almost like bringing a meta version of Tom because he's also coming off of a reality show that he was just on.
Right. And when he says, I guess I think he's referring to, he was referring to Sheena talking so much crap about him on the podcast and like, mm-hmm. you know, turning on him and making all this money off of him. When he goes, it's always the closest people to you who hurt you the most. It's like, yes, Tom. It is the closest people who hurt us the most.
But
remember
then like
when that was you, that's you, Tom. Like, yes, it is.
Exactly.
You did that.
Yeah, but then like last in the reunion, he was claiming that he and Sheena were never friends, basically. So he's like a walking contra.
Gotta bring this back to the dating women thing. My final note. I guess this is a spoiler, but where they're going. So you know, with Sheena's the babysitter or the nanny, whatever, that girl is gonna hook up with both Schwartz and Katie.
That was that specific girl. I just didn't realize if that was her or if it was just another girl who had like purple pink hair.
That's the girl.
Okay. Good.
Good. Yeah. This has been the case my whole episode here. My whole appearance. That's Wonderpump rules for me.
Okay. One last question. What do you think of the device of like Lisa now, because none of these people work in the restaurant and they haven't for a while, but like we've been through a few tumultuous years, but now her big device is like summoning them up all to Villa Rosa.
Or to Vanderpump Dogs.
Yeah. Or Vanderpump Dogs. But now it's been like she brought the two girlies up to Villa Rosa. She brought Tom Sandoval up there.
What do I think about it? I think that's always been a trope. It's like you get summoned, like James Kennedy when he would get in trouble. Like I feel like there were times he would get that. I feel like that's not new.
Yeah, but it just like felt so much easier when we could like be summoned to like that one table at Sir, where like she would ask for a glass of rosé.
A glass of Vanderpump rosé.
Yeah. Which isn't bad.
Mm. I don't drink white wine. Oh, no. I'm sorry. The rosé. Yeah. Is that white wine? No, it's rosé.
It's rosé, yeah.
Ugh, delete this. I sound like an idiot.
No, it's okay.
Oh, fine, leave it in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do you want to move on to, I mean, she was invoked a lot in this episode of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. What did you think of, Kyle's impression of her? Like, I think she did it in confessional and in scene.
Yeah, she did it in scene at, that arena. Is that the Crypto Arena?
That is SoFi Stadium.
Okay. Because I was at the Crypto Arena, so that's a different thing. Okay.
You know what I think is the weirdest thing? In my lifetime, if I had to boil it down to like just naming one thing that's like the strangest thing I've bore witness to, it is the fact that all of these stadiums and like theaters and arenas that it's like we're lucky. We just like Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. it's going to be that for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. But anytime I look at like a concert, like touring schedule, it's like, oh, we're going to go to the Chase theater to see, you know, I guess Taylor Swift is the only name that's coming to my, you know, to see whatever, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, like Prudential Stadium will not be that forever.
Like, isn't that embarrassing? Like, I could never say that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, even think about, I'm not a Chicago person, but the Sears Tower, the famous Sears Tower is no longer the Sears Tower. It's like the Willis Tower now. Did you know that?
No.
I did. But
in LA, the Forum, it used to be the, what was it? It was the something, now it's the Kia Forum.
Yeah.
But it used to be something else. People, I think, just call it still the Forum.
Yeah.
But I think calling it the Kia, like, are we talking about the, like, the car, the Kia?
Yeah.
That's humiliating to the human race.
Imagine if we were talking about the rapper Kia.
I'm sorry. I just, in my lifetime, like, I can't. Wait, is that why it's called City Field?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It used to be called Shea Stadium.
No, of course, I grew up on Long Island. I grew up going to Shea Stadium to see the Mets. Like, that was my whole childhood with my dad. Oh, my God. I never put it together. That's why it's called City Field.
Yeah. So
this is my funeral. This, we're witnessing it.
Yeah. So the Crypto Arena where the Grammys were at that I was just at in LA used to be Staples Center.
Yes. Staples Center. Of course.
Oh, my God. Us discovering capitalism on this podcast.
What was better, the reveal of me learning the Brandy Glanville news, or I think the City Field is way more embarrassing. That's like, this is, that's like my home, my dad. Like, wow.
You going, City? Does that mean City Field?
I hit home because it's like Long Island. It's like Queens.
Yeah.
All right.
Where were we? Okay.
Oh, wait, okay, I have a question for you. This is a Come Through Queen special for you.
Sure.
Erica's spinoff that's going to be just the two-episode extravaganza. Mm-hmm. Is this a care or don't care?
Oh, don't care for me, but I'm sure Dan will watch.
Mm. It is less of a care for me, knowing that it's just like a one-off special.
Mm-hmm.
I was led under some pretenses that it was going to be a 6-episode series, like limited series. Like, Ryan Serhant got like a whole 6-episode like wedding special in Greece, and like, we get nothing for Erica's. Like, I love Mikey Mint. Like, I want more of Mikey.
So you were ready to bet it all on Blonde?
I was ready to bet it all on Blonde.
That's really sick.
If it were in New York, I would have gone. I just was not flying across the country.
Yeah, Las Vegas sucks. No offense to people who live there. Just my personal experience.
I've had good experiences in Vegas.
Okay. I hope to have one soon. So what happened in this episode? We're obviously prepping for the white party.
Blah, blah, blah. The white party, Kevin Lee. Okay. Look, if we get to the point of this, can we zoom in on the last 15 minutes?
Well, not yet. We need to do the white party. Are you kidding me? Okay, there's fine. So much happens.
Oh, okay.
You're even skipping over something that you like that happens during the white party.
I like it.
I'm sure you liked it. But first of all, we need to zoom out. Kevin Lee canceled for me years ago when he fat shamed Katie Maloney on Vanderpump Rules.
What did he say?
He called her fat. Like, at a Lisa Vanderpump party on Vanderpump Rules.
That quote, you're fat?
He like said something, oh, you've gained weight or something like this. This was like,
I don't remember that.
This was probably like 5 years ago. Because I've been a Maloney warrior since birth. Wow. I know that you're a new Maloney warrior because like she has new hair and outfits.
You got Dyke energy. Are we allowed to leave that in?
It's okay. Okay. I'll figure this out.
I don't want to make Dan mad. Okay.
I mean, that's more of like me being losing my job. Oh, okay.
Leave this all in. This is fun. Leave it in.
Me being fired tomorrow. No. Just kidding. No, but I mean, like, he's been on my radar as a bad person for all these years. The fact that she's now using him. What happened to the original Kyle party planner?
I think the heavier guy.
Yeah. I think his name is like Grant or something.
He was a staple the first bunch of seasons. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also have, we've got all the supporting players coming in.
I could not believe they wheeled in Denise Richards again for this.
I could. Good.
There was Camille.
Camille.
Who, like, barely, they were like, it. They just panned to her, but then she never did anything.
Yeah. Denise and Aaron.
Aaron was there.
Cynthia, obviously. And Cynthia brought Jeff Lewis.
Yes.
And you they gave Jeff, like, moments.
Yeah.
They gave him, like, moments talking about, because he had accused on his radio show, he had accused Kyle of using Ozempic. Mm-hmm. So, like, they had a little moment where she confronted him at the party.
Yes. I liked all of that stuff.
For sure, yeah.
That was all great. I think it's interesting. Did you follow the other thing with Jeff? He was supposed to shoot a scene in Orange County that they wound up cutting for some reason.
With Shannon, because his, like, attorneys told him not to.
Yeah.
Because I guess there's, like, I don't know the reality rules, but there's apparently, like, rules that, like, they would have been able to, if he said something.
Indemnify.
Yeah. If he said something defamatory about somebody or something like that, then he would not be protected by Bravo or something. I have no idea.
But it's like, why would that? He just, like, accidentally, like, defame somebody in a scene. Well, like, you can have self-control.
Well, I think, like, he was saying, like, he could probably or would probably try to go hard against John Jansen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I loved all of, I loved the Kyle and Jeff Lewis confrontation.
Yeah, and then she has recently been on Jeff Lewis Live.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like they're all, like, smoothed over.
Of course. So Erica then performs.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of her performance?
So I was looking to I was looking if I could tell if she was lip syncing or not. So it's if she had been lip syncing. Actually, I have a friend who was there, so I could ask. But because she was wearing in-ear monitors, makes me think she was singing to track.
Okay.
And not lip syncing.
Yeah. Standard.
So I can't get over how she doesn't look anything like herself. I prefer the original version, I have to say.
The one that we met her first season?
No, even, like, all the versions until the Ozempic.
Sure, yeah.
She looked better. Like, I always thought she looked great.
Like, yeah.
This, she just looks like, I don't know. I'm not into this version of her.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we get to the last 15? I will say before the last 15, there was the moment of all the Richards daughters walking out with Kyle, and Mo was like at the buffet, nowhere to be seen.
It was weird.
When it should have been a family moment coming out all together.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going on with Dorit and PK? Do you think they're splitting?
I think likely. I don't know. Right? Like, he's so not great to her and, like, has not been great to her all season. Even when he was in LA, remember that scene, like, when they had therapy and,
yes,
like, he was drinking a beer and, like, when he went to the door to, like, get the therapist to come in, he, like, stopped to have a piece of pizza that was on a random, like, corner.
That was funny. That was great.
In their house.
That was great.
Yeah. I just don't think, I think people grow apart. I don't think he ever took her PTSD seriously in a way that, like, made her sad and uncomfortable.
Also, you know? Did he, like, stage the home invasion?
Okay, we're not going there, but yeah. I mean,
I found the last, it was funny when they were doing, like, the closing cards, like, it was only, like, halfway through the episode. I was like, what's going on? Like, because I was like, this episode hasn't. And then I realized that, like, oh, the whole ending is going to be the zoom in on Kyle.
I love when they do the closing cards, like, so early. And you know that we've got, like, so much story.
An hour left.
Out of us. Yes.
I found the last bit with them to be really sad and also really exploitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt... It felt so sad that, like, they had to do this.
And this scene has, like, technically been filmed twice. Because...
Really?
Did you see it? They did a similar scene with just Mo and the girls for the Netflix show. The scene was, like, released on Twitter, like, the day before the finale of this came out.
Oh, wow.
So it's like we're doing these like sit down scenes mm-hmm. about separating twice. Mm-hmm. Thing is, like, obviously, divorce is tough. I'm child of. And obviously, I feel bad for like Portia, especially because she's still very young. She's like mm-hmm. 16 and this is like all she's known. And she's also been on TV her entire life. So she mm-hmm. doesn't know anything before this. So I don't know. It's a weird, 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 weird thing.
It definitely seems like, I mean, I read it like Kyle is absolutely confirming he cheated in the past and possibly present. Like,
yeah, of course.
She confirmed it. I think going into the reunion, I thought the reunion trailer, can mm-hmm. we talk, are we up to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the reunion trailer was great. Dorit's look, wild.
Dorit's look I was okay with in still photos before I saw her actually sitting mm-hmm. on the couch. I'm like, this would be a look. It was giving Padam. Yes. But like to be sitting on a couch having serious conversations in that look and not like performing like at the People's Choice Awards, performing your like gay track. There's two different things, you know?
Yeah. I think if there's no payoff, first of all, it's strange. Why wasn't Morgan Wade at this white party?
Right. But Morgan was at Watch What Happens Live last night.
Was she? You know, I've been like offline and like out of it. She was in the studio?
Not in the audience. Like Nikki Hilton was in the audience, but like there's photos of like the step and repeat with Kyle standing with Morgan.
Interesting. Okay. I think if there's no payoff, like one way or another with this Morgan Wade thing, it's going to be extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
For viewers. Like, just let us know, like, okay, we're working together. It was just like for press or publicity stunt or like also, we are together. It's like the in between. It's like, it's frustrating.
Totally. But also, like, why is Kathy at this reunion? And why is she giving...
Girl.
Why is she doing spells on Sutton?
That was crazy.
I've heard...
I stepped closer to my television to, like, watch that.
I heard Sutton say that her reaction to that was, like, a reaction to that, like, big screen. Because now they're using the screen that was used in the OC reunion. You know that, like, screen what? That... Do you know about this?
What screen?
Did you watch the OC reunion?
You know, I've like never seen a frame of OC.
Okay. So now instead of doing like these like corny backgrounds, they're using this like technology that like there's this huge screen that you can put behind like this kind of set where mm-hmm. like for this, we're getting like the LA, like looking from like the hills down into LA.
Okay.
And it's like, they're actually like, it like is like supposed to look really realistic. And that's the technology they're using.
And she was freaking out over it?
That's her claim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited.
Me too. Yeah.
Kyle has some explaining to do. Like, let's get to it.
Yeah. Is it going to be three parts? Do we know?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Although they really could wrap this puppy up in one and a half.
Yeah. So wait, who for you in Beverly Hills are winners and losers of this season? I would ask.
Erica Jane, winner.
Okay.
Loser Kyle, I think.
Sure.
Because
life fell apart.
It just wasn't satisfying. It wasn't satisfying. It was confusing. It was deceptive. So... And it just left me like, you know what? I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say winner. I mean, Sutton, despite all her mess, had made television. She made television.
Sutton is a winner. Yes.
Yes. I feel like Crystal could be more of a winner.
Crystal's getting fired.
I know, but I think she could be more of a winner. Like, she had strong moments.
She didn't speak the whole season.
But when she and Anne-Marie, when she was a soldier for Sutton against Anne-Marie, mm-hmm. she was strong.
I predict she's not coming back.
That's okay. But she's real money. And remember what Rob said in the finale?
Yes.
He said that he thinks that Morgan sold the story to people.
And she said, you're directing. What was that line? It was a great line.
You're like, you're being like a cinematographer right now.
A movie director right now. Yeah.
That was funny.
That was good.
I want to touch on Miami a little bit before we get to talking. We're going to talk about this entire season of The Traitors, and then Jess is going to leave us for a little bit. I'm going to talk about this episode of The Traitors alone for an experiment, and then we're going to come back and do freaking In the Queen. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so Miami. I want to talk a little bit about this finale. Miami's been firing on all cylinders. It's got maybe one of the strongest casts. If you're not watching it, you're not doing drag. I do want to say at this finale party, we got two old cast members that came back. Anna was recognized as an old cast member. She was given a Chiron. But I feel like nobody's talking about a former friend of who was around in season two of Miami, which would have been 2011. Lauren Foster, who kind of was like, I think, one of the first trans women to be on Housewives. And she was present at this party, like actively having conversations with cast members in the background, but like never mic'd throughout this entire finale party. And I feel like nobody's talking about it. And I just wanted to put that in the world. You need to rewatch the episode to see her. She was wearing yellow and she was with Anna, who was on her cast back in the day. And then we got the trailer for the reunion, which I made Jess watch. First of all, their outfits, they look insane.
Mm-hmm. I like the trailer a lot. Larsa, now that I'm familiar, because I never really watched Miami, so my real intro to Larsa has been through The Traitors.
Yes.
Which is not making me a fan. But then watching this, seeing how she reacts to this woman, Gertie,
mm-hmm.
with like not understanding and like being dismissive of the cancer is completely confounding.
She also outed Gertie's cancer. So Gertie confided in her and said that she had cancer, and then Larsa basically told half the group earlier in the season. And like a lot of this like finale party was like Gertie being like, I'm starting chemo tomorrow, my husband shaved my head today, and like you're yelling at me. And it's like all of the other women, like Alexia, who's like kind of a bimbo sometimes, like she's the woman who looks like Teresa Giudice, but like blondes. Yeah. She was like to Larsa, like, can't you listen? Like, Gertie's starting chemo tomorrow. Like, please listen to me. But as far as the reunion looks, iconic, right?
I thought it looked very interesting.
Okay.
I was more taken with the I was really. As far as reunion looks, the thing that really captured my attention was Dorit. So like by the time I got to the Miami promo, I was more focused on the dialogue.
Sure, yeah. So you never watched Miami even back in the day with like the old Marisol days, Mama Elsa?
Mm.
Oh.
I know. Everyone says to watch it.
Last year's reunion, Adriana presented a receipt to Andy Cohen, which he read out loud, and it was a letter to Marisol from her liver.
I heard about this.
Yeah. Like, it's actually like Miami is actually like high camp.
Yes. Sounds that way.
Okay. But speaking of high camp and from Larsa to Larsa, let's get into the traders.
Mm-hmm.
So you interviewed Peppermint recently.
Yes.
Great interview.
Thank you.
You talked a lot about her coming back to the show for the reunion and how she's like kind of like gunning to.
She is coming for Trishelle's neck.
Yeah. That will be fun to watch. Other than that, like, what have been the highs and lows of the traders for you this season? And like, all the highs, obviously.
I think the highs for me have been really getting to know Parvati, because mm-hmm. I've seen bits of her on Survivor
mm-hmm.
by way of Jerry Manthe. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen the stuff that Jerry Manthe's been on, and Parvati was on one of those seasons, like one of them, whatever. And then I dipped in and I watched a little bit of Micronesia to like catch up on Parvati, and I've watched clips, but really getting to see her in present day.
Sure.
I love her. Like, I love her energy.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. She has this calmness about her. I just really enjoy her. So I would say, I think just the obvious.
So you're on the question of Parvati versus Phaedra, you're on the queer side. That came up on Watch What Happens Live to Alan Cumming, right?
Yes. But I also am loving Phaedra as well.
Yeah, no, I came out on the queer side too, even though I'm loving Phaedra. I just like, there's something about like Parvati to me that gives me girl who I would have dated in high school, but now we're both queer and keep in touch sometimes.
I love that. I love that she's a yoga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much about, like, if she were my instructor somewhere, like, I'd be like obsessed with her.
Okay, well, where does she even live now? Like, California, probably?
L.A., yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we go down the cast? What about Sandra for you?
Love it. I feel like she's going to win.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. I love Sandra. I wish I had, like, a photo of the cast right now.
I'll pull it up. What about... Okay, wait. What about... Let's go Big Brother first.
Was loving Dan.
Interesting.
Yeah. I felt like he was compelling television.
That is so interesting.
Even though he wound up like fucking it up, like or am I not supposed to curse on here?
No, you can curse.
Okay. Even though he wound up like blowing it, I was always compelled by him.
Okay. I love that. What about Janelle, Big Brother?
Don't get it. Everyone was like, oh, so excited. Like, my Big Brother friends, I didn't get it. It's like she was never there for me.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I'm going down now a cast list from Peacock.
This is like a hot or not.
Yeah, so it's not in like any order from shows anymore, but I'm just going to keep on going.
Okay.
What about Bergie?
Bergalicious, sure.
Of course. That's it?
Bergalicious, was that problematic for you? I mean, you know what? You know who's like the real winner for me in this? I came out like really loving Kate Chastain.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
CT, I know you're a real world person, you must have a lot to say about CT.
Love CT. Love that he's Phaedra's castle daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I love his Boston accent. I think I love everything about him.
Yeah. Me too. I love him so much. Deontay didn't last long.
Don't remember him.
Okay. Ekansu.
Oh, what an idiot. No.
Also, like, half these people are iconic because of what Phaedra has like said about them.
Yeah. She was one of the more, she was really, really dumb.
Yeah. What about Johnny Bananas?
It's like when they're gone first, it's like you forget. Peppermint made such a huge impact. Like for me,
mm-hmm.
like that was like she really like made her mark. Like it's going to stand the test of time. And like she'll probably come back in season 3. Johnny Bananas, like I don't even remember what he did.
Yeah. Also like Peppermint being in the room when Parvati and Sandra came face to face for the first time.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Peppermint and Parvati were like, becoming friends, which would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What about John?
He's fine.
Okay. What about Kevin from Bling Empire?
Oh, no.
Okay. Larsa?
No.
Marcus?
No.
Max?
No. I forgot about him.
Okay. MJ?
Oh, she confounds me.
I know, but isn't she like... Okay, so we are more familiar with MJ than I think like most people because we listen to Jeff Lewis Live.
Yeah.
Her on Jeff Lewis Live is
it's like... It's a different human being.
It's not iconic, but her in this castle is iconic.
Well, if she... This is going to wind up being like the UK version where like the morons win.
Well, I mean, yeah, hopefully.
The people with no strategy, like they're just like... They're the people that are just like yes anding the whole thing and like yeah but they're not saying anything. It's like none of their idea. That's apparently how to win this game.
I mean, I hope so. We touched on Parvati and Peppermint. Mm-hmm. What about Pilot Pete?
He's fine.
Phaedra,
of course.
We touched on
Sandra. She's winner of the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Touched on Sandra.
Yeah, love her.
Sheree,
you know, she looks good, but she's not really doing much.
I mean, she's worse than MJ as far as, like, kind of stumbling through the game. At least MJ's walking into rooms and trying to, like, listen to people.
I guess. And walking out, backing out of rooms.
Yeah. That's on her resume. Skills, walking into rooms and backing out of rooms. Tamara Judge.
Ooh. Poor showing.
I know. She could, I think.
Apparently she was very sick. During the whole, I have a mutual friend of hers who was in touch with her. Like during that, she had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, I also think like she now has her own podcast where she talks about this, and I do think she's interested in this kind of gameplay. So I wouldn't be surprised if I think we could see Tamara pop up on like a Celebrity Big Brother, maybe even like do one of the challenges or something. Like I think she's really interested maybe. In this kind of, I don't think she necessarily knows how to play, but I think she wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trishelle, obviously, which I know.
It's a yes. It's a yes for me, dog. It's
okay.
Yes.
Even yeah. though I know you hate her because you feel like she ruined the real world.
Yeah.
It's
yes, because she can't help but be interesting. She's providing value to the show.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And then obviously Kate Chastain.
Mm.
How did you feel? Okay, you watched season one, right?
No.
Oh.
I started it and I have to get back to it. Because you know what happened? I was craving Traitors. And when I was upstairs, I think I talked about this in the it feels like years ago that I mentioned going to Beacon. It was some point in this broadcast, either on the pre-show or this show. I mentioned something about Beacon and we binged 2 weeks ago. We binged the entirety of season one UK.
Mm-hmm.
Which was so interesting, in a way more interesting than this.
Yeah.
Than season two. And so I was going to go back and watch season one just to see. And also, you know, Peppermint has now piqued my interest. I want to see Andy.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting ending to that season. But for the Kate of it all. It's just very funny because, like, she spent half the time just wanting to leave.
Yeah, I want to see that.
And so her coming, but she was, like, comedic relief, and she is comedic relief in this. And so this is me before watching tonight's episode. I'm excited to see, one, if she accepts, which I think she will.
Of course she will.
And two, how they deal with it. And then I will give my reaction, I guess, after this. Okay, I am jumping back on Solo right after the end of Traitors, literally them ending with MJ being the final vote and we don't get to see it. That MJ's serving Sade. I took a few notes during this episode, but I don't think it's great to recap alone. Mm-hmm. So once Stan is back next week, we'll give a full recap. I will say, Kate as a traitor, I love her so much, but maybe the traitor life is not for her. She's a little too anxious. Relatable. Kevin died. Also, another instance where MJ was serving C was when she was the first to shatter a thing in the challenge, right? And wasn't it Sheree's little panel she shattered? And, okay, I get it, Trishel, you are strategic, but to me, I don't know. I feel like I wish she was cooler. Roundtable, I do think Phaedra's... Everyone knows it. Everyone knows Phaedra is a traitor. She still gets her good lines in, though, but like she's backed into a corner. But the fact that she can still do, I think it was 4-4 before the MJ vote, we'll see. Anyways, that wasn't much of a traitor's recap. I'm sorry. We'll do more next week. It's also like not as fun to watch alone. The thing I like about the Come Through Queen family is that I get to watch with Dan and Alex. So hopefully we'll be back soon. Bye. Okay, so let's do Freak of the Week. Who is it, Jess?
I'm actually going to go rogue here. I think the Freak of the Week is J-Lo for that feature film, which I reviewed on the pre-show, which was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
So if you want to hear the full review, you got to subscribe to the Patreon.
Oh, my God. J-Lo, I love you. I love you, Poppy. Okay. So before she went rogue, we were going to do Tom's.
No, why?
Oh, no. Okay, never mind. Okay, yeah. So do you want to go rogue with the one true queen again?
Now let you go.
Okay, well, we were going to give it to Wendy because we love her.
Our hearts go out to Wendy.
Yeah, and I'm also going to give it to J-Lo because I love her.
This is the third time I'm shocked on this podcast.
No, just kidding. I haven't seen the film, but I love Made in Manhattan. I love you, Poppy, which I said before.
During the pandemic, I watched Selena at a drive-in.
I love Selena. I watched it. My friend rented out a theater to watch Selena.
What?
Yeah, you could do that back then during the pandemic.
Really?
You know that like Chelsea Sinopolis / Clearview, the one who went through like all those changes? Yeah, we rented out that to watch Selena.
Isn't that expensive to rent out a theater?
I don't think really that much during COVID.
Wow. Okay.
Anyways.
There you go.
Thank you, J-Lo. Anyways, Jess, where can we find you? First of all, her award-nominated podcast, Finding Fire Island, is available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, her other great podcast comes out every Monday morning on Apple Podcasts and wherever else. It's called Hot Takes and Deep Dives. She does hot takes and deep dives with all of your favorite people.
Including you.
Including me. Yeah, listen to our episode. It was actually really good. You can find everything else Come Through Queen at comethroughqueen.com. Any last words?
That's it.
Okay. Well, anyways, we love you, J-Lo. We love you, Dan. Love us. Please retweet. See you next week. Bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.